Welcome to Sun Has AMA. I ended up with 69 questions from anonymous users, Cunt Punter 2000, Vocal Writer 112, Vulture 87, Quack Duck, R. Geordie, Rob 1514, Lustful Intent, Toss Me Away Love, Lola Getz, VK2, My Name Is V, and Luna Lovegood. So, we'll start with the simple ones. Number one, what is your name? My name is Senna. My mom was a big hippie, and I'm named after the herb, not the Italian race car driver. What is my quest? Well, I think that all of our purpose in life is to bring pleasure into the world. Fight for the side of good. Justice. You know. What is your favorite color? That would be blue. What is your favorite season? That would be fall. I know I live in Vermont, and so we have snow, and right now we've got snow and rain, which is just lovely. But, you know, I was born here. But the only time it's really perfect is in fall, where you get days that are about 65, 70 degrees and nights that are about, oh, 50, 40. Perfect. All the rest of the year, it's way too cold or way too hot or way too wet for me. I suppose I'm fairly hard to please weather-wise. Number five. Will there be any more Demon Queen audios? I actually have two more planned out. I don't know when I'll do them, but at the very least I'll write them up. Number six. Are you planning another Project A recording? Will Leo be in it? Well, the original Project A was, of course, to do a recording of the different ways that you'd have to seduce each one of the Avengers. So it is, by definition, a single person project. So no, I don't think Leo'd be in it. Except I think maybe the Hawkeye one. I think he'd go for a threesome. That's an interesting idea. I will keep that in mind. Number seven. Who's got bigger tits, me or Leo? Well, Leo does. But mine are bigger than I thought they were. See, back in high school, I wore a D, then I lost some weight, and then I wore a C, and then I gained some weight, and I still wear a C. So I thought. But I stumbled across this really interesting bra fitting subreddit and thread and FAQ, and a post on this blog showing how to properly center your or seat your breast inside your bra. And it turns out I've been doing it wrong this whole time because I just put the bra on. It's actually really interesting, and I'll include a link to all these things that I talk about in the body of the post. But turns out I actually should be a European F cup, even though I've been wearing C all this time. So I don't actually have any F cup bras, but it's surprising to find out that your three bra cup size is larger than you thought you were. It really is. Number eight. Do you ever write your own scripts? A lot of what I've been doing recently, has been scripted by other people, say for the past 6, 8 months, but, especially in the beginning, everything I did, I wrote. Because, of course, I came at this erotic audio, I came at it sort of as a two-prong approach, I suppose, which is I'm a very good writer, And also, I was a podcaster before podcasting existed, so there is that. Number 9. Does your SO influence which projects you choose to record? No. No. If I want to record something, and it's not something that Leo's interested in, then she doesn't have to be in it. I'm nice like that. Number 10. Do you have an Amazon wish list? I do, actually. I've got a blog that is basically just reposts of what I post here, kind of to archive them. And I think it was in January, since everyone had been saying, oh, you know, I want to get you a present. So I put up an Amazon wish list there, and I've gotten 2 things from it. 2 tributes. And they were both from the same person. So I like him. He's a nice person. What do you consider the best thing you've ever written? That's really hard, because I have written a lot of stuff. And of course, in the beginning, it was really crummy. But I would have to say, probably, I've got this thing, it's either a short story or the first chapter of a longer thing, I haven't decided yet, called Nas, and I'll include a link to that too. It's a it's a science fiction story with the ever-present barbarian and a naturally somewhat submissive spaceship pilot. I've been told that it's very good, and I do like it quite a bit. And if it's not my best, I would say it's probably equal to other good things I've done. Number 12. What is something non-sexual that you see as a huge turn-on? I am always tense. So any time that I get a massage, it just feels so good. I can't help but make it sexual in my brain. Even if it's not meant that way, oh, it is that way. They just don't know. Number 13. If you were given 6 months of free travel, where would you go? That's a very good question, because it would have to be not too hot and not too cold. You know, maybe the Scandinavian countries, they look a lot like Vermont, and the people seem really interesting. Of course, I'd have to get a passport first. Let's see. Number 14. What are you afraid of? Well, I don't like spiders. Or other creepy crawly things. Centipedes, those are right out. Ugh. So centipedes and spiders. And being thought selfish. That's probably my greatest fear, is having someone else think that I'm selfish or a nag. And that's pretty sad, but that's true. And it's actually gotten me in trouble with Leo and various other relationships, not necessarily sexual ones, even just friendships, because I won't nag. I absolutely refuse to do it. So if I need something, I will ask for it one time and then never bring it up again. Even if it's something I really, 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 really need, because I just don't want to be seen as a nag. I don't even know where that comes from. So, of course, when you've got friends that can be as forgetful as I can be, and I don't remind them, because I don't want to be a nag, well, it just ends up not happening, and they end up hurting my feelings without realizing it, and it's just a whole big thing. So that's what I'm afraid of, being a nag, being selfish. And one time I went to bed, and there was a centipede, a house centipede, which is pretty rare here in Vermont, I have to admit. There was a house centipede under Leo's pillow in bed. Oh my God. Oh my God. This was years ago, and we still flip the pillows when we go to bed because, holy crap. The bed wasn't even just like a mattress on the floor either. It was an actual bed, like a grown-up person bed with, you know, up off the floor, and oh my God. Ugh. I do not know where that thing came from. And I've totally blanked out what we did with it. Ugh. Did we catch it? God, we must have. I don't know, my brain goes centipede, flash of white. Oh well. Number 15, if you could put yourself in any position of power or leadership, what would it be? Well, you know, I don't really have that sort of ambition, craving that some people have. I am perfectly happy just being a supportive behind-the-scenes sort of thing. So I wouldn't want to be a president or anything like that. Though sometimes I do absolutely think that I could rule the world much better than it is right now. But, you know, that's something I just have to live with. So I suppose a position of power or leadership, probably the most powerful or leadershiply thing, would just be mod of a subreddit, because I'm not ambitious. Not at all. Number 16. If you could only use one sex toy for the rest of your life, what would you choose? Well, that would be my little Lilo vibrating egg. And I actually did a review of it, so I'll link to that as well. It's really wonderful. Oh my, it's wonderful. It's originally, it's made to be a remote control one, so it has a remote to it, but you can actually just use just the egg and the control that's on the egg. And that's what I do. Oh, it's nice. All kinds of rechargeable, you know? Okay, number 17. If you were playing some hypothetical roleplay game, what would you choose to be your attribute and class? No limitations on either. Well, I can tell you, I'm running a game right now of 3rd edition Dungeons and Dragons, and in order to aid me with it, because Leo knows that I don't particularly care for Dungeons and Dragons, and my group has problems. They've always had problems. These aren't problems they're ever going to get over. For example, one of the group says that she wants to start going to cons and maybe doing playing in some games there. So she wanted to do a thing that would have, you know, brief exposure to the sort of thing that she'd run into if she were to play a game at a con. So I agreed to run a one-shot dungeon crawl adventure that I made up from scratch. So I make up the adventure from scratch. I help them make their characters, and we go. I managed to get it so that it was just 4 hours of play, and we ended up on 4 hours of play pretty much exactly. They went through, they did the whole dungeon crawl thing, then they left the town, everybody was happy. And then one of the other people in the group says, wow, I really liked that. I liked having goals and things that, flags that we could, you know, tick by so that we knew that we achieved something. So let's do this again, but this time make the adventure be 4 to 5 sessions long. And I'm like, okay. Because this isn't the way that I run. The way that I usually run, which is the way that she does not like, apparently, is open-ended. So I know the world, and I know the people in the world, and I know what's going on politically and socially, and I know the things that are moving behind the scene, and I drop the characters in this world that I just know inside and out. And then with these things going on in the background, and then with their actions, they can do whatever they want. And what happens, of course, has to do with what they did, but also with what's actually going on in the background that they may or may not ever even find out about. This is too open-ended for her. So I am being somewhat railroaded into running a game that I don't care for, in a way that I don't care for. And it made me sad. So Leo bought me some new books, because books always cheer me up. Especially if they've got tables. I love tables. But anyway, she bought me this nifty set of books. It's two of them. It was trap-specific books. And in the first one, the second one's mostly just traps, just like listings of, okay, here's a trap. Okay, use this trap. But the first one started out with 3 prestige classes, and then it went into what a rogue's guild would be, and went from there, and then there was like, hey, here's some traps. But one of the prestige classes was called Discreet Companion. So I think that's what my class would be. I would be Discreet Companion. Just sort of the support behind some powerful guy, kept woman, whatever. It would be awesome. Okay, so next. What are my feelings on Jell-O? Okay, Jell-O is fine. I just think that it shouldn't be eaten with chopsticks. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. Okay. Next. Number 19. Have you ever thought of the Kool-Aid Man in a platonic friendship kind of way? Well, you know, he supplied most of my drinks for my, childhood, so that's good. So I think, yeah, me and the Kool-Aid Man, we'd be buds. Besides, there are all those, way back in the 70s, there were a whole bunch of comic books that took advertising from, like, Hostess and Kool-Aid, and so I have fond memories of these little one-page little skits starring the Kool-Aid Man or the Hostess Twinkie the Kid, something like that. Because I actually taught myself to read on comic books. When we moved into the house that I live in now, I bought it from my mom. I was 4 years old, and the previous owner had left behind a huge box, like a box that a TV would come in, and not just a regular TV, a 70s TV. And it was full of old comic books from the late 60s and early 70s. So everything from like X-Men to a whole bunch of amazing stories type things. And I actually taught myself to read. I knew the basics already, but I taught myself to really read using those comics. So that's pretty cool. And that is why I have fond thoughts of Kool-Aid Man. Number 20, what gets you up in the mornings? Sunshine, birdsong, dog, cat, bedmate, have to use the restroom, alarm clock, etc. Well, currently on work days, I get woken up to Leo's cell phone alarm because we have to get up at 5:30. We've got to be at work by 7:15. And then, of course, we have to let out the dog. But, let me see, actually. Leo, give me your cell phone. I'm recording in the bedroom, and she gave it to me when she came up. So I can let you hear what the alarm sounds like. Okay, here we go. This is the alarm that I wake up to every morning. Anyway, this morning scared the crap out of me because I was in pretty deep sleep. So I'm like, ah, what? on weekends, it's generally the need to let the dog out before she pees on my bed. I don't like being woken up by being peed on. No, I do not. 21. What is the color of your car or regular mode of conveyance? My car is silver, and his name is Bradley. We didn't know that his name was Bradley for a long time. Our last car was black, and his name was Beepu. His name was Beepu because something happened, shorted out, whatever. His horn kept going off at random times and stuck on, and eventually I had to pull the fuse, and yeah, that probably wasn't legal, but anyway, you do what you gotta do. So we got a new car. That would be Bradley, and he's silver, and it's a Scion, and it was actually made in Japan and then shipped over, like I think all the Scions are. So we were, Leo and I were talking about, possible Japanese names for him, like, maybe he should be Toshiro. And we never could figure out one. We finally settled on Toshiro, even though it wasn't exactly right. And then one day, we were driving down, the road in town here, and a group of mixed sex college age people started waving their arms at us and shouting, "Bradley, it's Bradley, hey Bradley," and we laughed about it and, you know, drove on and figured, oh well, they must have just mistaken us for someone who had a similar car, even though there weren't very many of them around at the time. And just about 2 days later, we were driving in an entirely different city, and a bunch of college-age boys started yelling out, "Hey, Bradley!" at our car. So, we came to the obvious and logical conclusion that our car's name is Bradley, and he likes to party with college kids. So, yeah. Number 22. What is your favorite way to start a sexy time session? Answer in the form of a haiku. Now, because I had the questions beforehand, I actually took the time to write this out because too much pressure. I wouldn't have been able to do a haiku right on the spur of the moment. So, a look and a smile, my face open and guileless, it's clear what I want. Number 23. How many languages do you speak? Well, I speak English, and I have had 5 years of French, and 2 years immediately followed by 2 years of Spanish, which canceled each other out, which means I can ask where the library is in French, and I can confuse French and Spanish words for each other all the time. So I might know what the word for kitchen is, but then I'm not entirely sure whether it's French or Spanish. So, yeah, that's what I did to my head. I also have a tiny smattering of Japanese. But basically, just English, though I am very good at deciphering written languages. Uh, 24. I don't know your particular opinion on these gentlemen, but WTF, Tom Hiddleston, Bradley Cooper, Chris Hemsworth. It's a variant of Marry, Fuck, Kill. The acronym stands for Wine and Dine, Tie Up for an Evening, and Flirty Random Encounter Followed by Steamy Shenanigans. Okay, now I know who Tom Hiddleston is, and I know who Chris Hemsworth is, but I had to look up who Bradley Cooper was, and I know that's amazingly out of touch, but, well, you know, that's what you get with me. So, let's see. Who would I... Oh, Tom Hiddleston definitely needs to be wined and dined. He's a sweetheart. So that means that Chris would be tied up. I imagine it would have to be quite some strong rope. So Flirty Random Encounter would be Bradley Cooper. You know, when I did look him up, the only thing I knew him for was he was in Wet Hot American Summer. Oh, next question. Ah, 25. Do you have any tattoos or body piercings? No, nothing exciting. I don't have any tattoos. My piercings are, I've got 2 holes in each ear. Pretty tame. I do wear, titanium hoops, ball hoops in them. And that way I don't even have to change them. As I get older, my, used to be when I first got my ears pierced. My first holes were done when I was 3 years old. I could wear anything in them, and it wouldn't bother me at all. A safety pin, an old nail, you know, anything. But as I get older, I get much more sensitive to different metals. So now I just leave the titanium in there and don't have to worry about it. Number 26. What's your favorite thing to do with the ocean? To do with the ocean or to do with the ocean? I'll say, what's my favorite thing to do with the ocean? Okay, when I go to the ocean, I like to go in the water, and when a wave comes, I jump at the same time so it pushes you in a little bit. I really like that. I haven't done that since I was a kid. Number 27. If you were in a situation where you had to choose between your life and the greater good, what would you do? If I was absolutely positive that it was my life for the greater good, I wouldn't even hesitate. Absolutely. If I had to think about it, I'd think about it, but if I came to the conclusion that losing my life would be an act of greater good, wouldn't even hesitate. 28. What's your favorite establishment from which to acquire eating material? Well, let me tell you, there's a restaurant nearby called the Single Pebble that does authentic Chinese food. It's so good. They've got something called mock eel, which is actually just marinated strips of shiitake mushrooms that they managed to make the texture and the feel of it be just like, oh, and they've got this thing called sweet and pungent walnuts. Oh, it's so good. It's sweet and sour walnuts, people. Oh my God, it's delicious. Anyway, ooh, it's so yummy. 29. Do you think that polite society in which you live could continue on the condition that everyone's sexual preferences and tastes were common knowledge? If not, do you think it would be a positive change? Oh, no. No, I don't think. I think that having something like that be kind of like branded in our hair color or whatever, it would upset everything, because there are so many people who are not honest about their desires, and there are a lot of people who aren't honest with their desires to themselves. So having it be something that everyone could tell with a look, I think that would be... I think it would just destroy society. Now, do I think it would be a positive change? Well, in ways, yes, but in ways, no. There are a lot of things that are titillating just because they're secret and naughty. So, some of those things, if you made it so that everyone could just tell, they wouldn't be quite so exotic. However, it would be good to put an end to the hypocrisy that inevitably exists when you have a bunch of people and they're trying to keep someone else down for whatever reason, and they're using shame to do it. Even if it's something that they themselves do or would like to do or would want to do, they can pretend that they don't, just to make the other person feel shame. So it would be wonderful that that would no longer be possible. Number 30. Do you enjoy being dressed up fancy and going out for some refined type activity? Actually, yes, I do. I've got a niece who has acted in a lot of local productions, and it's really, really nice to dress up and dress all fancy and go out to the theater and watch a play. I would say that that's probably my favorite activity to get dressed and go out for. Especially Shakespeare. I've always had a thing for Hamlet. That is an excellent play. Number 31, have you ever been skinny dipping? No, I haven't. Not because I wouldn't, because I would in a second, but rather just because the opportunity's never really come up. Number 32, if you could send a message of one idea back to yourself at any time in your past, what would you choose? Constraint. The message would be accompanied by some proof that your interchronal communique was legitimately from your future self, so that would not have to be part of the message. It would be carried by a messenger tube on the back of a chrono squirrel, just for the record. Okay. Well, I could say kill and eat this squirrel to gain superpowers. But what I'd probably say is relax, it's not your fault. Yep. Number 33. Would you like to live somewhere else in the world for a spell? I would absolutely have no objections to living somewhere else. However, Leo, she does not travel. So that means I do not travel. That's what happens when you're tied to someone. Number 34. What's your favorite thing to eat with pizza? I would say my favorite thing to eat with pizza is definitely salad. Lots of fresh veggies. Maybe some avocado, tomatoes, a nice citrusy dressing or one with yogurt in it. Yummy. Number 35. Do you want to build a snowman? No, I don't, because right now it's mostly just granular ice out there. So it wouldn't be a snowman so much as a granular iceman, and my hands would get cold. Plus, since it's still raining, it would kind of melt and look scary in that way that snowmen do when they melt. No, no snowman. Number 36. When and where have you felt most comfortable naked? Well, growing up, my mom never made a big deal about nakedness. I mean, after she and my dad got divorced when I was 9, it was basically just a house full of women. I mean, I do have a younger brother, but he would be 1 at the time, so he was just a baby. So it was just a big house full of women. My mom, me, my 2 sisters, and then my younger brother, who was always tagging along. And, she's never made a big deal about nakedness, so I've never really had that, that whole body shame thing. So nudity doesn't bother me at all. So, but I would say that probably just, you know, in my own home, I've got cats, I've got a dog, I've got a wife, and, I have, you know, stepped out in the front yard naked to, get my paper. It's not something that bothers me. You can't really see my front yard from any vantage point if you weren't in on my property, so I don't worry about it. So at home, when do you love yourself most? Well, you know, when I get sad, I try to do something nice for somebody else. It makes me feel better. So I love myself the most when I'm helping people. Uh, 38, what single word do you hate the most? Well, I'm not one of those that has a vendetta against the word moist or anything. I could tell you my favorite word. That would be trundle. But I can't. I think every word serves its purpose. So I don't really have a word that I hate. Though there are some that make me laugh. There used to be this product that they advertised on the radio called the Fat Whacker. It was pills or something. So Fat Whacker makes me laugh. Things like, I could ask Leo and she would tell you, because she knows all the words that make me laugh. Okay, I'll have to get back to you on that then. 39, what's your favorite thing about sex? And my least favorite. Well, my favorite thing about sex is that it breaks you out of yourself. You have to let go of yourself in order to have good sex. My least favorite thing about sex is that sometimes that can be really hard for me. A lot of women have a hard time coming because of, you know, stupid voices in their head. And I'm one of those women. Because I have to worry about Leo. Because if she is uncomfortable, like if I'm laying on her arm or something, she won't say anything. So I have to watch out for both of us. So I may well be laying there and I'm getting into it, and then all of a sudden my brain will think, I wonder if her arm's getting tired. I wonder if her fingers are tired. I wonder if I need to shift position. You know, maybe she's sleepy. Maybe she doesn't want to do this right now. She could be just doing this because she thinks you want to do this. Great, now you're making her do this. Wonderful. Which, of course, all goes back to this whole, I hate feeling selfish. And so it's hard to let go. Because during sex, you have to an extent, be selfish in order to get your own satisfaction. And it's very hard for me to do that. What's the sexiest thing someone's ever worn for you? Leo's got this awesome t-shirt that says, I like boys on it. And it's got like a British flag on it. Extremely sexy. Very cute. Number 41. If you could have one power, what would it be and why? I'm assuming you can hear my kitty Nuffy. He's just being silly. Okay, so this would be like a superpower thing, right? Now, like a lot of geeks, I've had a long time to think about this, and it used to be invisibility. But I came up with a better one. So, I would say addicting touch. So I would want my touch to be so addictive that other people would do whatever I want, because they would crave my touch, and also because if I didn't touch them again, they would have withdrawals. So that's my power. I want to have addicting touch. I will make everybody do whatever I want, and if I don't, if they don't do it, then they get withdrawals and they get punished. The end. Okay. 42. Have you ever seen insanity where you later saw creativity? Well, not really. Aren't they the same thing? I mean, when you're looking at a spectrum of creativity, by definition, creativity has to be something that's outside of the normal. So insanity would just be as far outside the normal as it's possible to get. So that would just be one end of the spectrum of creativity. Number 43. What is something you know you do differently than most people? That would be think. I know that I think differently than most people. Leo calls it being potistic, because my mother apparently smoked pot heavily when I was developing. And we have this friend, Brian, whose mother also smoked pot heavily while he was developing. And Brian and I both have some very interesting little quirks of the mind that you wouldn't think would come up between two random people. So, for example, we're very creative, forgetful. But then there are other things that we're completely not forgetful about. You'd have to ask Leo for more information, because the whole potism is her thing, but she's pretty sure it's a thing. So I think differently from other people. And as an example of that, I recently was listening to a stand-up comedian. He was doing a bit about this one time when he was really, really high and decided to drive to the store, and his thought, and apparently the train of thought is funny, but when I heard it, I was like, and? Because that is exactly a train of thought that I would have. So apparently, my brain just automatically thinks as if it were very, very high. So I think differently from other people. And also, when Leo heard that, she just keeps looking at me now. Apparently it's very different from other people, how they think. Number 44, at what time in your recent past have you felt most passionate and alive? Well, a lot of times you just kind of get in a groove. And the groove becomes a rut, and you certainly don't feel passionate or alive. But I have 15 nieces and nephews that are just from close relatives. They are my close nieces and nephews, just from my sisters and from my cousins, which my cousins and I, we all grew up in one big kitten pile of people. They're just basically my cousins are my sisters. It's just how it works. And I would say probably the latest birthday party, because Leo and I were the cool aunts, you know? The kids always corner us to talk about Pokemon or other video game things. And I really like teaching and helping people to learn things, so we brought a game over that is sort of a, not really an educational game, but it can lead to discussions, and we had great discussions, so I would say that is when. Put your music on shuffle. Give me the first 5 songs that pop up. Okay, you asked for it. Okay, so number 1, Ain't No Sunshine. Number 2, Gay Bar Part 2. Number 3, Violence and Bloodshed. Number 4, Year of the Cat. Number 5, I'm No Angel. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of wow in that. Yeah, I've got pretty eclectic music tastes. 46, what is your best potato recipe? Okay, so there's this thing called Hasselback potatoes, which are really good. You take a potato and you slice it, okay, you cut it in half long ways so that you've got 2 long potato bits. And then you slice them, each one, but not all the way through to the end so that there's a little ridge of potato that's still holding it all together at the bottom, but it's sliced at the top. Then you kind of flex them and use that to scoop up a mixture of breadcrumbs and seasonings and butter that you made, and then you bake them in the oven, and they are so good. But we call them sow bug potatoes because they look a little bit like sow bugs or woodlice, you may know them as. These little insects. That's probably not very appetizing. But anyway, it's delicious. 47, what do you want a script written about? Well, I'm a very broad-minded girl, so I am easy. I'd say just because there's been so much call for that sort of thing lately, maybe a superhero script. That would be okay. I could be some sort of ball-busting bitch who captures superheroes. And I am a villainess, and I make them do what I want. Wahahaha. Number 48, is there such a thing as a classy dick pic? My theory is that such a thing would involve a stick-on mustache and a tiny top hat. Thoughts? No, I don't think that's it. I mean, where would you put the cane? And the googly eyes would just be far too much. I think that a classy dick pic would have to be like, you know, sepia-toned and there's like a sunset in the background. Yeah, absolutely. We could do that. 49. Do you remember the first time you ever had an orgasm? And if you do, has anything ever gotten close to that level of satisfaction? Well, funny you should ask. Now, a lot of people actually get kind of upset when I talk about this. So if you're against very young people being sexually aware, you should probably skip this one. So, here's what happened. I was sexually active when I was 5 years old. The neighbor girl came over one day and we were playing, and she said, "Hey, let me show you this cool new game that my cousin taught me." So, we kind of just made out and whatnot. And, dry humped, whatever. But the thing is, it must have been enjoyable enough because we kept doing it. We were still doing it when 3 years later, when I was 8 years old, I had my first orgasm. So then I showed her how to do it, and she had her first. So since it was pre-puberty, it actually didn't feel anything like an orgasm does now. It was definitely duller. There was pleasure, but it felt more like, I remember thinking at the time that it felt like there was a balloon that was blowing up from where my clitoris was, and just until the balloon was as big as my entire body, and it was just filled with air or light or something like that. So it was pleasurable, but actually nowadays, coming is much more pleasurable because you get that whole electric thing going on that you don't when you're 8 years old, frankly. And we kept doing it. Did it more often, actually, until my mom caught us when I was 11. So her parents were very, very religious, so this did not go over well. Number 50. What is the word or phrase that arouses you the most? It's actually tone of voice. So anything spoken to me with kind of admiring approval, oh, it just melts my bones. 51. If you are checking out a man or woman, what do you look for or at first? I would say that for both, it would be hairstyle with a close, or hairstyle or hair with a very close second on eyes. 52. After he comes inside of you, do you want him to stay inside of you? For how long? Tell me why. Oh, absolutely. You don't want to just pull out and have it leak all out. You've got to keep it in there, right? I mean, that's the point of putting it in there. So for how long? Five, 10 minutes? Depends on when he's absolutely done. And I'm absolutely done feeling pleasure, these little after jolts. Or one of us has to go to the bathroom. Fifty-three. What got you into role playing? I actually mean tabletop, but both answers are more than welcome. Okay, well, tabletop role playing. So, I was 11 years old, and as I said, me and my cousins were all raised in a big kitten pile, and at the time, they were actually living with us. So there were 7 kids, and my mom and my aunt. And it was summer, and we went downtown to this secondhand store, and I had all of my allowance for that past, like, all that summer, basically. I had $22, and I was going to buy something cool. So I started looking over in the game section and the toys section, and I came across the old Redbox D&D. And it sounded really awesome, so I bought it. and I read through everything cover to cover, and I attempted to run little adventures for my cousins and my sisters. And when we went back to school that fall, there was actually a couple of guys that had bought the red box set too, only they hadn't gotten it secondhand. And Charlie would run Rob and another boy I don't remember the name of. Maybe it was Bruce. Maybe Rob and Bruce. So Charlie would run Rob and Bruce through these little modules that he'd get. And I would just sit and listen. Occasionally they'd ask if I wanted to play, and I would say no. And later on, I started running my own games, and I got to be a very good dungeon master. The end. Oh, sexual role-playing. Well, that started when Leo had a character who was much more forward than my character and started seducing her in play. And that was very amusing. And then she wrote a story about it, and that was very amusing. And then we ended up just role-playing it, and that was very hot. Okay. 54. What's the one kind of audio that you wish there was more of? I don't mean as a personal request kind of thing, more like I wish the community made more of this. I think we've got a really good balance going on. I suppose if I had to pick something, I would say that I wish that the community would do more story readings, like, you know, audiobook style, as opposed to being fantasy or in first or second person. Just because that's the kind of thing that I do like to listen to. 55. Has your time on GWA changed anything about your sexual experiences? Absolutely. I used to be nearly silent during sex. And let me tell you, you feel a lot more when you don't have to concentrate on not making noise. So being able to relax enough to let the natural sounds out actually has made me a much more passionate lover. Number 56. A serum was developed that allowed you to always have the most earth-shattering orgasm every time you have sex or masturbate, but it also instantaneously makes you explode. Would you drink it? You obviously retain your entire body intact, but you are surrounded by the crater of your own orgasm making. So kind of like the old Animaniacs, Katie Kaboom, huh? No. There are times when I need to, you know, privately just kind of sneak one in, and I don't need anyone knowing about that. 57. If your beloved placed her hand around you while in the couch, watching movies, etc., and lightly made strumming movements with each finger on your skin, what would you feel? Comfort, titillation, etc.? Yeah, comfort and titillation. The two go together more often than you'd think. 58. An actual cum bucket was used in your lovemaking. Who cleans it up the next morning? A physical bucket that was somehow used for cum. Well, all I can say is that if there were that many guys or girls, probably we're not doing it in my house, so I'll just leave it. And also, yuck. 59. My opinion on nudist beaches. Like I said, I didn't really grow up with much of a nudity taboo, even though it was just women, so I didn't see a naked man for, oh golly, I was in my mid-20s, I think, the first time I saw a naked man in person. So, I think nude beaches are fine. I don't necessarily see the human body is as, it's not necessarily a sexual thing. So, you know, it's fine. Number 60. Preferred lovemaking destination. A shack in the middle of nowhere or an apartment where you can hear enough of the city outside. Shack in the middle of nowhere. I'm a country girl at heart. I love the little nature noises or hearing the rain on the roof or the brook babbling out behind. I kind of live in a city now, but I don't like the car noises. I don't like having people around me. I'm definitely a country girl. Besides, that way, if I wanted to, we could just go outside or whatever. As long as it's in the middle of nowhere, that's where I want to be. 61. Do you have any idea why you like that brother-sister fantasy of yours so much? I do, actually. I'm pretty thoughtful, so I spend a lot of time thinking about things to kind of get to the core of them. And that particular one, about the first time I had it, which, as I've said before, I was about 11. Okay, let me back up a step. So my mom was way too busy to worry about what I was reading. She's always let any of us read anything we want to read. So this led to such things as me reading The Hobbit when I was 9, and it was horrible, and I still don't like it, and reading Lolita when I was 10 or 11. And when I was 11, by that time I was just reading anything I could get my hands on. And I had this, I found this book, and it was like one of those, like Danielle Steele type books, but I don't think she was the one who wrote it. And in it, there was an extremely titillating scene where a sister had been out all night, and these were both adults, of course. The sister had been out all night partying, and the brother, was trying to shame her, saying, "What would Dad say?" and such. And she wasn't listening to him, so he put her over his lap and pulled down her pants and her panties and started spanking her bare ass as she squirmed on his lap. And not too much further into spanking her, he realized that she was getting off on it. So he stopped and stood up in disgust, and she was just crying and begging him not to stop because she needed to come. That was amazing. So yeah, that twisted my little psyche quite a bit. Yes, indeed. Okay, so, 62, you said it's been a favorite of yours since you were young, so estimate exactly how many times you've come to it. Feel free to bust out a calculator. Well, I might have to. Let's see. So I first had it when I was about 11. 39 now. That's 28 years, 52 weeks in a year. I guess I'll just have to say more than 2,000 times. I'm not great at math. I have an underactive math gland. Okay, 63. Daddy-daughter tends to be the most popular wincest. What makes mom, son, and brosis appeal to you? Okay. Like I said, I think about these things, so I can tell you exactly why. Why does incest appeal to me? That is because the person who's doing it, even if they're taking advantage of you, has to love you. Because they're your dad or your brother or your mom. They have to love you. So no matter what happens, no matter what they do, they're never going to leave you and they're always going to love you. So there's that. And also, there are different levels of betrayal of trust, which, by the way, betrayal of trust I find very hot. Corruption of innocence, betrayal of trust, that sort of thing. Very hot. So when it's a brother-sister thing, that seems more conspiratorial to me. The two of them, even if there is a difference in age, it wouldn't be as much as with a parent. So it's kind of them against the world. Whereas if you have a younger person and a parent, that is an even greater betrayal of trust. So instead of being them against the world, it's more daddy or mommy breaking the absolute final utter taboo that no one could ever forgive them for. So that's the difference for me in having it be a parent as opposed to another sibling. And as for what makes mom, son, and brother-sister appeal. Well, with mom-son, it would be like, okay, in all incest, it's like there's an undertone there of they own you, they're using you. That this is something that they know they shouldn't do, but they're doing it anyway just because they want you so much they don't care. So that is also very hot. That's mostly what I see for the male characters, or the dominant characters, I should say. Mom-son is different. I kind of see that as kind of maternal. Like she's fulfilling another one of his needs. It's not something she's supposed to do, but it's something that needs to be done, so she does it, because she's a mom, and moms take care of everything. Pretty silly, I know. So, please rank the following types in order of most favorite to least favorite. Okay, so most favorite to least favorite would be brother-sister, brother-brother, step-brother-stepsister, daddy-daughter, mom-son, sister-sister, grandpa-granddaughter, third cousins twice removed, which, by the way, isn't even illegal in my state. You can marry first cousins here in Vermont. And, grandma-grandson. There you go. 65. Have you ever licked ass? Do you want to? I haven't, but I don't have any objection to it. If it's something that my partner would find enjoying, I've been rimmed once. It was lovely. And we shared rather deep kisses afterwards, so if that counts... Okay, 66. Does any particular element of clothing quicken your pulse on me or someone else? I do like to wear a nice balconette bra. I really do. It makes me feel sexy. Much more easily aroused when I've got one on. And on someone else, I like tailored jackets. Ones that pinch in at the waist and then flare a bit at the hip. 67. You put a lot of effort into modding this place. What's the most rewarding thing about your modly efforts? I would say that it's everyone knowing me, you know, knowing that I'm fair and that I'm kind and that I won't yell at them for no reason, that kind of thing. So being respected for it and not feared. I don't think anyone worries that I'm going to go off the deep end and start banning people randomly or start a subreddit war or something. I think that being trusted to do the right thing. Well, I like to be trusted and thought of kindly. So that's the most rewarding thing. 68. Do you get satisfaction from banning someone terrible, like a subreddit superhero, or are you just annoyed that they showed up in the first place? I don't like banning people at all. However, there have been a few people that have been really just nasty, and they don't belong here. So, there have been a few people that I've banned and just said, good. And I know they can come back using a sock puppet or something, but at least they're gone for now. Good. And 69, the last question. If you were going to be given a modest crown, what would it look like? Well, let's see. I prefer silver to gold, so it would be silver. Nothing too elaborate, probably just a simple circlet. And we'll put some of my favorite gemstones in there, so some garnets. Like I said, I'm a cheap date. Can't stand diamonds, love garnets. In Vermont, you can literally find garnets on the ground. Way back when, in the 1800s, it used to be one of our exports. Garnets. Well, anyway, so that is my 69 question and very, very long AMA, so I hope everyone knows me better. I love you all, and you're so nice. Bye.